You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
Thunder, baby. Little AC/DC to get us kicked off on Talkin' Sports. Good afternoon. Congratulations to the West Monroe Rebels beating Central in the Trey Altic Prep Tournament. 58 teams in this year's tournament. Folks, that's a lot of boys and mamas and daddies here to watch some baseball. Glorious day for it outside as well, but we're indoors here in West Monroe, in the West Monroe studios. Let's go through our lineup for today. On the line and waiting and holding for us, old faithful Cody Futrell of the New Star. We'll talk a little high school basketball again. He's out covering the Trey Altic tournament today. In the second segment, we'll have Ryan Bond, the boys coach at Weston High School. We were scheduled to have the West Monroe High School tennis coach on today, but we're going to give her a pass. She had to skip out on us because her team is in the finals of the Bolton Cup at ULM. We'll have Tom Morris. He'll join us to talk about all the events he's covered in 30-plus years at Louisiana Tech. And then Coach Tyler Summit of the Lady Texters is going to join us later today to talk about something special. But first, let's go to Cody Futrell. Cody, thanks for holding for us. You there, Cody?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. I know you got a lot going on today. So we'll get to it. I know that in girls basketball, Arcadia won, and they're going to face Maryville at 2 o'clock today for the 1A state championship. And then Summerfield, Class C state champions, back-to-back. They defeated Plainview 69-36 in the semis, then won the championship over Pleasant Hill 59-34. So congratulations to both of those. We'll wait and see what Arcadia, the number one seed, does today.
Yeah, interested to see that. Summerfield, another great season, and what a heck of a program they've built up there just north of Ruston, and just a great run for them. Back-to-back state championships, and could very well make it three next year.
Over to the boys' side of the bracket, Ouachita is still in it. They're in the semifinals against Scotlandville March the 8th. They beat Bonnabelle 55-53. The only team even remotely close to us in 4A is Bossier. They're still in it. They beat A.J. Ellender 63-61. And then in 3A, Wasserman is still alive after posting a 65-58 win over Peabody in the quarterfinals. Cody, I believe you were at that game.
Yeah, I was. Patterson and Watson was a great atmosphere. It's probably one of the best atmospheres I've seen all year. This Watson community came out and really supported the Wildcats last night. And what a great game it was. It was a very, very back and forth game. A 9-2 run to open up the game by Patterson. Watson took the lead at halftime. They led the entire way up until at the very end. A couple of big threes by Patterson got them back in the game, got them back within shooting distance, but a late technical foul really set Patterson back. Wasserman hit 9 out of 10 free throws in the final 38 seconds to close that thing out, and the Wildcats are playing as good as anybody in the area right now, and they're going to have a huge challenge against a Peabody team that I believe is at least 8 times in a row now in the state tournament, and has won multiple state championships, and the premier team in 3A basketball the last few years, and they've been in 4A as well and won some titles, so that they're just really a powerhouse program, and that's going to be a really, really good basketball game.
Yeah, I said they beat Peabody 65-58. That was Patterson. Sorry about that. Peabody is who they'll face in the semifinals. And in 1A, number 4, Arcadia, they're into the semifinals as well, and they'll face Lafayette Christian after beating Varnedoe 65-62. So Arcadia, still in it with the boys and the girls. And number 10, Tensaw, is in the other semifinal in 1A after they defeated Northwood 64-57. They'll face Southern Lab next. In Class B, go ahead.
I just wanted to say one quick thing about Tensaw. I have an interesting story this week on those guys. They have a couple of brothers that play together, really kind of make the engine go there with the Panthers. And what a great run they've had. You know, they had to go. They played a neutral site game at Oak Grove in the second round against Delhi. Their big district rival had already beaten them twice. They beat them. You got on a huge roll. It's a huge win against the Northwood Lena team that's really well respected across the state. And you mentioned Ouachita. They had a hard fought victory last night in the Lions Den. They also had a great crowd at the Lions Den for Ouachita last night. And our Brett Hudson was there for that game. And interesting note about Wasman and Ouachita is that both of those programs, first year head coaches Casey Jones left Ouachita and went back to his alma mater Wasman, and he left one of his former assistants as the head coach there with the Washington Lions. Both of those guys taking their respective teams to the top 28 in their first season. So very good job by both of them.
Absolutely. And then Simsboro's into the semis by way of a 76-65 win over Stanley. Don't know why Stanley couldn't get it, four other guys to play with him, but he did get 65 against Simsboro in the loss. I'm not sure where Stanley is, but, he had a heck of a game. But Simsboro faces Wally next in the semis, or was that in the championship?
You know, another very interesting note about that is that game was actually stopped with about a minute 50 left in the game following Stanley's coach was ejected, got back-to-back technical fouls, was ejected from the game. And at that point, apparently the Stanley crowd got very unruly and were coming out onto the court, and at that point the referees actually halted that game before the triple zeros.
Wow. Never a good thing to happen, especially in the playoffs. You don't want anything to, if it's a closer game, you don't want anything to jeopardize the outcome by doing something like that.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the first time in this area I've heard of that happening. There was an incident in Shreveport last year. There was a brawl at the end of the Evangel playoff game over in Shreveport last year with one of the teams from South Louisiana, but first time I've heard of a playoff game being halted before the end of the game because of that here in this area. So very interesting end to that one, but also a great run for Simsboro. You know, Simsboro came into the playoffs number one seed in Class B. They got a first-round bye. Then, I don't know if it was nerves or ring or just a little rust. I don't know what it was after that time off. They came in that second round home game, and it ended up going to double overtime. It took double overtime for them to win there in the second round, but they seem to be back on track now, and glad to see them. And once again, Josh Brown, the former West Washington coach, another first-year coach there at Simsboro, taking them to the top 28. So on the boys' side, we've got three first-year head coaches taking teams to the top 28.
So Josh is at Simsboro now?
Yeah, that's right. He's the head coach at Simsboro.
I did not know that. I'm sure Tabor had a John Tabor, our illustrious producer, and a native of the borough. I'm sure that he was at that game and had a fantastic time.
I'm sure he was, and they always have good crowds there.
Yeah, and then of course Weston falling at Anacoco, and we're going to talk with Weston's head coach in the next segment. But overall. A lot of good basketball still to be played, a lot of good basketball we've seen. Hopefully people have been going out. But give me just a quick rundown of what you've been doing at the Trey Altick and what you've seen so far.
Earlier this week I saw St. Frederick in their game opening up the tournament, and they lost 19-8 in their first game. Right now I'm at Ouachita, and Chalmette just got started, still no score in first inning. I'll be over at Weston Row later today for a really, really big 5A matchup. 5A powerhouse from New Orleans, Rummel, is in town for that one. There's 58 total teams in the area. I think there's about 12 different high schools in Northeast Louisiana that are hosting games today. So anybody gets a chance, an absolutely beautiful day, to support a good cause of the Trey Altick tournament and also to see some really great local baseball.
Yeah, I ran into some players and a coach from Loyola yesterday over in Shreveport. And they were looking forward to it, said they needed a lot of luck. And then I talked to some folks from Chalmette yesterday afternoon, and they were already, Lou Holtz and, Poor Mouth, and they were happy to be here. I'm kidding around, but they were happy to be here. But the guy was telling me some of their best players got hurt already, and they don't have a very deep bench. So But anyway, a lot of great baseball. Cody, once again, awesome job. Really appreciate you coming on with us each week. Remind everyone how to get in touch with you and keep up with what you're doing.
You can always email me, cfutrell@thenewstar.com. All of our articles, of course, and our e-edition is online. If you don't have the print edition, you can always see us online at thenewstar.com and follow along anytime I'm out at a game or just have something interesting to note. I'll always put that out on Twitter, at cfutrelltns on Twitter.
All right, Cody, thanks again, bud.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Go and enjoy some baseball. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan Bond, former Bulldog basketball player. He'll be on to talk about his Weston boys basketball team. Right back. Get in touch with us on the Car King Hotline, 888-993-7762. The Pulpwood Producers text line, also at 888-993-7762. Reach out, follow us on Twitter. Get a hold of us there on the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at TSports977FM. Email us on the Riverport Creative Group email inbox, tsports977fm@gmail.com. Find us on the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports977fm. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to the show, Talking Sports. It's just you and me. I'm B, Byron Avery, your host, here on Talking Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. On the line with us now, high school basketball coach Ryan Bond, Weston High School. Ryan, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you. I'm going to tell you what, I really hoped that we would be talking about the big win and what you had coming up next, but unfortunately came up a little bit short at Anacoco last night.
Yeah, I wish we would have be making plans to go down to the top 28, but we came up a little bit short last night on the road against the defending state champions. Our guys fought, played hard. We didn't shoot the ball like we've been shooting all season, and especially the first two rounds of the playoffs. You know, a few shots here and there, you know, and we would be talking about going down, but we had a great season. We finished 28-8 overall, won our district, I couldn't be happier with the season we had.
Yeah, 28-8 in district champions, that's a heck of a season for your guys.
Yeah, and it's just it's something that, you know, the kids work hard, and I couldn't ask for a better group of kids, all the way down from the eighth graders all the way up to our seniors. They played hard all year and practiced hard and put up with me and put up with my demands. And so it's a really, really special group. One of the, you know, I told the kids last night, I said, you guys will, I'll always remember you and the season that we've had.
Well, what's the makeup of your team? How many seniors did you have this year?
We had two seniors, Lane Hartley and Hunter Kelly. You know, Hunter Kelly, he's a kid who's just works hard, great teammate, great practice player. Didn't get as many minutes as, you know, maybe other seniors have gotten in the past, but unbelievable teammate, just wanted the team to win. Lane Hartley is a kid who's been on the on the basketball team since he was an eighth grader. Scored a bunch of points, won a lot of awards, district MVP for 2 years in a row, all-star. He's going to get a chance to play on the next level. Unbelievable work ethic. So he's going to be truly missed. Great kid. He's a special player.
Cool. And so only two seniors, so that on a 28-8 team, things look like they bode well for next season.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got three juniors that are going to be returning. A kid named one of the kids, Clayton Reeves, unbelievable athlete, tough, gritty, really characteristics coaches love. A kid named Alex Toms, who actually we're pretty sure he broke his wrist in the third quarter last night, but he's smart enough not to tell me these things, and I didn't know until about midway through the fourth quarter that he was playing with a broken wrist. So he's coming back. And then another junior, Hunter Toller, tough, gritty defender, can shoot the three, can drive. Then we had a freshman this year, Arabian Williams, a very solid player, one of the probably the most talented freshman that I've coached in my 5 years with the boys. So we've got a lot of kids returning. So I think we'll be in the thick of things again next season.
Well, let's hope so. You told me the other day that you're also well, you didn't tell me you were coaching track. You said you were on your way. And when I said you coach track as well, what did you say to me? You just drive the bus and what?
Yeah, I drive the bus and tell the kids to turn left. So
there you go.
That's now, when I was in school, we didn't have track, so I've learned a lot about track. And you know, at the small schools, we got to wear many hats, and I do cross country and do a little bit of track and do junior high basketball, do varsity basketball, and so and a full teaching schedule. So it's it keeps me busy, and I enjoy it.
Absolutely. Well, Ryan, again, I wish we had been talking to you about your win and moving on, but congratulations on one heck of a season and a district championship. We were communicating, and you agreed to stay with us one more segment. We'll bring people up to speed on what's been going on with Ryan Bond. But we'll be right back after these messages with Talking Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to Talking Sports, brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. This hour brought to you by Gina Eubanks, Allstate Insurance in Ruston and Minden. Gina Eubanks, agency owner since 1995. Still with us on the Car King Hotline, Ryan Bond, boys basketball coach at Weston High School. Ryan, let's go back a few years. You played at Weston. Yep. All I remember about you when you were coming out was 6'8", big boy, squats about 700 pounds, can move some people around. So what year did you come out and join the Bulldogs of Louisiana Tech University?
I graduated in 1992. That has been a few years ago. Born and raised, kindergarten through 12 at Weston. And Coach Lloyd, I used to go to the Tech basketball camps, and he would, I still have the note, and he wrote me a note, and he says, you're going to be a tall player, just keep working hard, and that always stuck with me, and I knew I wanted to be a Bulldog, really, from that point on. And graduated from high school, 6'8", 6'9", a buck 80, went to Tech and got on a full-time weight program, and put on about 30 to 40 pounds that first year. And, we had some, my first couple of years, we just didn't have the talent. We struggled a little bit. And my last 2 years, we've got different coaches and recruited a little bit better. And we were competitive my last 2 years.
Yeah, I remember that first year, your freshman year. And I remember being at the conference tournament in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and yeah. that was a rough time.
Yeah,
and
I just remember going on the road, and they the more creative hecklers, they would say the Lady Texters could beat you guys, and I really didn't have a response, because they probably could have. So we had some rough goes there.
Yeah, I just remember after the game at the conference tournament, that was it just wasn't a positive experience all the way around. But you left Tech, and I know you played ball overseas, and things have been a lot different for you.
Yeah, I really didn't have an agent after I finished, but I knew I wanted to keep playing, and I got a job opportunity in Sweden. The hotbed of basketball in the Arctic Circle, and I was making about $1,700 a month playing basketball, but had to walk 20 minutes to practice in blizzards most days. But it was an unbelievable experience, and I went from there to another mecca of basketball, Finland, and played there for three seasons, and then Croatia. I came and stayed back here in the States for a year, then went to Kosovo, and then went to Germany for 3 years. And Germany is where I met my wife, and so it turned out very well for me.
Yeah, Germany is what I remember most about your after Tech playing years. And I knew that you had told me that you met your wife there, and I'm sure once she moved back to Weston, I mean, really not much of a change.
She's always trying to find a way out every day. The first time she came over, she said, there's a whole lot of trees, you know, a lot more trees around here, and a lot fewer things to do than what she was used to, but she's great, and you know, she's kind of settled into the southern lifestyle, and we have two beautiful children, a 4-year-old and an 18-month-old, so you know, no complaints as far as that goes. Keeps me busy. So.
Absolutely, Ryan. I really appreciate the opportunity to get caught up with you. Good luck next season in basketball, and good luck with that track. Just keep telling them to turn left.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
All right, bud. Talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. That was Ryan Bond, former Weston High School player, former Bulldog, and as you heard, played in baseball meccas such as Sweden and Finland, Croatia, and in Germany. And so really appreciate the opportunity to get caught up with him. Reach out to us here on the show. We've got the Car King Hotline on at 888-993-7762, the Pulpwood Producers text line, 888-993-7762, the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at tsports977fm, the Riverport Creative Group email inbox, tsports977fm@gmail.com, and the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports977fm. We are presented by DBAT of Monroe. If you haven't been over there, over on Hall Street, on Washington Street, used to be Tiger Automotive over there, Tiger Honda. And, man, you walk in that place and, you know, you don't expect it, but you walk in and they've got the front counter and they got all their apparel and stuff out there. Then you walk to that back, and the cages they have are unreal. So if you want a great experience, Jamie Johnson, former West Washington player, is the owner, and several other guys that have played pro baseball. They're the instructors. Go over there and have a great time. You can have birthday parties there. But it's really unbelievable what all they've got going there. We're going to take our next break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Tom Morris right here on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the show, Talking Sports. With Byron Avery, just you and me. Call me B. We're here on ESPN 97.7 FM. Want to take this real quick moment to thank all of our broadcasting partners, our show partners, Katie's of Monroe, Car King of Monroe. You need something, you need a new vehicle, go see Zach Green over there at Car King. Pulpwood Producers, Glassworks of West Monroe, Riverport Creative Group, Assurance Financial, Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana, Gina Eubanks, Allstate Insurance, and the Riverport Creative Group, along with DBAT. So thanks to all those guys. Tabor, real quick, I'm sure you were at the Simsboro game, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you really enjoy yourself? Did you lose your voice or anything like that?
I got a little hoarse, but nothing out of the ordinary.
Nothing out of the ordinary. Okay, that's good to know. Well, it is a good, good deal for those guys. They're on to the semis, and best of luck to the borough. You know, Tabor, I saw something that just did my heart good on the internet this week. I'm not sure if I'm a little bit behind, but I don't think I am. Raging Cajuns vacate 22 wins in football. Just does my heart good when something like that happens to a team that nice. So 22 less wins in the record books, including the 2011 and 2013 New Orleans Bowl championships and the 2013 Sun Belt Conference championships. So illegal players participated in those games as a result of assistant coach David Saunders. And he now has a 8-year show cause order. So any school that any FBS school he wants to go to will have to go before the NCAA committee if they want to hire him and show cause. But drops just, you know, the nice guy, Coach Hudspeth, drops his record from 40-24 overall to now 18-46. Couldn't happen to a nicer school. Never been a fan of USL. At some point, I'm thinking some fans maybe even call it the University of Slow Learners, but not real sure about that. But anyway, just like I said, does my heart good to see something like that happen to those guys. Also, I saw something interesting on the internet, the interweb as they call it. What does the Louisiana budget crisis mean for Louisiana football schools? Well, guess what program it may not have much effect on? Tulane. Of course, they're a private school. They had the 83rd best recruiting class in the nation. Louisiana Lafayette, of course, already holding sanctions in recruiting because of the latest NCAA move. Tulane set to maybe get some people because of their private school. They're a private school. They don't get subsidized by the state. So, you know, we'll see. Most of the teams should be okay. Financially, most of the teams should be fine. Both Tech and Louisiana Lafayette have built over their history large donor base, according to this article from SB Nation. Okay. It says that despite more than 50% of their budget in subsidy, Tech still not have the lowest state school budget in the FBS. That would be Louisiana Monroe. And this really concerns me because in this article, and again, I'll be glad to give somebody from ULM an opportunity to respond. But in this article, it says ULM ran its athletic department with the smallest budget in the FBS in 2014. This says that university president Nick Bruno, a guest on this show already, has approached athletics with a very conservative and low spending philosophy during his time at ULM, very seldom opening the university's pocketbook for improvement. But we'll have to see. It is what it is. And guess what? It is 1 o'clock right now, so it's time for our next guest, Tom Morris, Timo, as he's known to most people. Long time benefactor. I'm not even sure of the term I need to use, but he's taken a lot of pictures and he's helped a lot of people and he's been around the program a lot. Tom Morris, welcome to the show, Timo.
We'll have to get in touch with him here. Still having trouble.
Okay. All right. Still trying to reach Timo. And we'll get in touch with him. But anyway, back to what I was talking about then. We'll just go into this a little bit more. And Tulane set to maybe reap the benefits. We're going to go ahead and take a break right now. We'll be back with more from Talkin' Sports. ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the show, Talkin' Sports. Just you and me, I'm B. Byron Avery, your host here on Talkin' Sports. on ESPN 97.7 FM. We'll go to the Car King hotline now and welcome in our next guest, Tom Morris. Timo, how you doing, buddy?
Hello, Byron. Thank you so much for having me on your program, your very new program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Been wanting to talk to you about this for a long time, so we'll jump right into it. Tell us a little bit about what all you've done with tech and how long you've been doing it. I know that that could take up an hour, but just give us a little synopsis.
Well, I guess you want to talk about the degree I got. I graduated from tech.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Is that all
the clubs that you were in and the clubs you were in and stuff like that?
My high season with you. My 1976, I came to Louisiana Tech as a student and got into journalism. And my junior year, I received a camera from my brother who was coming back from Vietnam. And I started taking, I took the camera to some sporting events. And I liked it, and I started taking sports pictures, and that was 41 years ago.
Absolutely. Was that 1976 or 18?
One of those.
One of those, okay.
1976, and then 1975, the spring, that was the first time I had a sports picture published.
Okay, and then captured many moments for Tech Athletics since then.
The alumni do so many things, Byron, about when they graduate from their university. A lot of people give money. I'm fortunate enough to be able to give a little bit of that, but I give my time and I give my photography to Louisiana Tech, and it's something I'm very proud of, and it's I've been able to document several events in those 41 years that are part of Tech's sports history.
Absolutely. I know that I was the beneficiary of a nice nice photo of Willie Rofe protecting Sam Hughes in the end zone in Alabama with Eric Copeland and Eric Curry. It was Curry and Copeland, the defensive ends for Alabama, both running across the field trying to get there, and Willie protecting our quarterback in the end zone from the 1992 season.
That's right. That was a photograph that had six All-Americans in it. Willie Rofe was a left offensive tackle for Tech, but that's not really whose picture I was taking at the moment. Tech was backed up to it. 2-yard line there at Legion Field in Birmingham, and I'm under the goalpost, you know, as close as I could get to the action, and I was just taking a panoramic shot of Legion Field, full stadium. You know, Tech did not play before many crowds that size very often, so I was just taking a panoramic shot, and Hughes backs up. Hughes was a quarterback from, I believe, Oak Grove, and sits back, and he's got a pocket around him, and he lets it go, and I snap, and after the play, a helmet rolls by my feet. So this is back in the days of film, so color film. I came back from Birmingham, and I got my film processed and got it back Tuesday, and I saw this picture of Willie Rofe ripping a Alabama player's helmet off as he was blocking him. And that picture ended up being in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, Bob, one of my favorite pictures of all time. That's not the only one, obviously, that you've taken in 41 years, but just go through, if you would, just a few of the moments that you've been able to see and capture, from Karl Malone to, you know, just whomever. I mean, you've seen a lot, and I was around you a lot. I know you've been on a lot of trips with teams. Just talk about that a little bit.
Well, Byron, the dear Lord has placed me in the right places at the right time so much when I'm at a Louisiana Tech sports event. I'm always shooting, regardless of where I am, whether I'm going up to the press box, I shoot from up there, or whether I'm, you know, whatever my vantage point, I still shoot the play. And another one of those interesting instances was being at Michigan State for that last second win over the Spartans. Luke McCallum throwing the ball to, another Curry, allowing the Bulldogs to win that game, one of their signature wins in the football team's history. But I'm under the goalpost. I always have the team coming towards me, because the most important part of a sports photo is getting the face. Nobody's interested in seeing the back of a head in a sports photo. So
I remember that game, and for some reason, I guess just because of the name, but I remember Jeff Smoker was the quarterback from Michigan State. I always liked that name.
And he got hurt. He did not get the smoke deck at all, but I got the picture of Luke McCallum throwing the ball and then Curry catching it, and dramatically I've got the Tech crowd and bench in the background. What few hundred Tech fans were there. And, you know, again, God has put me in some fantastic spots for photos.
I've seen some of yours of Troy Edwards and Tim Rattay. It's just unbelievable what it is, you know, you and Nitz, y'all have been around, Dave Nitz, been around, you know, forever, it seems like.
Yeah.
And
both of you have
seen some tremendous stuff.
It's very important for me to point out to you that I would not be able to do this without the blessing of the university photographer, Donnie Grove.
Absolutely.
Donnie, at one point, I had a brief illness, and I had to fill in for him on some things on campus. I'm very proud to call Donnie a friend, and that he supports me helping him out, because it's a job documenting the history of the university and all its activities going on.
Yeah, I was going to bring Donnie's name up, because he's been around for a lot of those too. So, give me your top 10 favorite photos and moments that you've been able to capture in 41 years. Can you do that?
Of course, the Willie Rowe picture's got to be the number one picture, because that one was the first one published in Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
And then I've got Karl Malone, several shots. I was the first one to take a picture of Karl Malone in a U.S. mailman costume, uniform. We got him a satchel and a mailman USPS cap, and I was the first one, after Teddy Allen named him the mailman, I was the first one to post a picture of him in a mail outfit. And the Curry catch at Michigan State, the Alabama wins at Alabama.
Which one?
Well, both of them. The best one is Jack. Let's see, was it Jack McNeil or whichever? No, I'm sorry. Joe Raymond Peace after the game was. I got a pose of him, just very excited, coming off the bench to congratulate the players. Very animated, and
I know that the 92 one was Joe Raymond against Alabama, but then in 97, 98, 97 maybe, the win at Alabama was Croton, because I remember he told me before that game, he said, I want to make sure there's a program in every locker so these guys will have something to remember this game by when we win. And I was like, okay, cool. He never had a doubt, and I remember Troy Edwards just – putting on some moves and just
Tim and it, Tim and Ray,
abuse.
Tim and Ray and Troy Edwards just got after it.
Yeah, and then the next one with Sean Cangelosi backing into the end zone, that Brian, all of a sudden his name left me, the quarterback, Bradford, who had to come in, Rattay got hurt right there in the last, and Brian Bradford had to come in and he threw that pass to Cangelosi. And I remember talking to the guys I wasn't there anymore, but I remember talking to the guys, and they said that all week long in practice on that play, Brian had not been throwing the ball into the end zone. So he had to make sure he did that on that game.
So the adrenaline got him in there.
Yep.
But, yeah. But I'm real proud of Byron to have these photos through the years. The line of scrimmage picture of Tech and LSU is perhaps my most popular one. Everybody wants to support Tech and sneak LSU in there, and that picture allows them to do that. All these photos that we have, that's another thing Johnny Crow has done this year. He's put us on a new website. You can buy Louisiana Tech sports pictures.
Right, that's where I was going next. Tell us about that. That's where I was going to go next.
Exactly, and our website is LaTechSportsPix.com. And a good percentage of the proceeds goes to the Louisiana Tech Foundation and the athletic department. So, unfortunately, I don't get all the money. It'd be nice, but this is my gift back to the university, to my alma mater.
Okay. So that's www.latechsportspix.com.
Yeah.
Timo, I really appreciate you taking a little time today with us. It's been good to catch up with you every time I see you out and about.
There you go. I just left that West Monroe baseball game, and I'm headed to the Tech baseball game at 2 o'clock, and then we got women's basketball tonight.
Absolutely.
I haven't had to get up to them this year, so Malcolm ought to be happy that I come to that one.
There you go. All right, well, Timo, again, thanks for your time. And we really enjoyed you coming on the show, and best of luck, and we'll have you back on.
Thank you, Byron, and thanks to all the fans out there who support Louisiana Tech University.
Absolutely. Have a good one, Timo.
All right, bye now.
Tom Morris, Timo, on 41 years of capturing Louisiana Tech sports history in pictures. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports, here on ESPN 97.7 FM. If you'll remember, a couple of weeks ago, we had Bonnie Farmer Hay on. Bonnie, big into the Alzheimer's movement. We're doing what we can to get what we're calling a purple movement going in our area. Just want to raise awareness for Alzheimer's. She has a father suffering from it, a 46-year-old sister who's been diagnosed with it already. My mom is going through it, and it's tough to watch. And on the line right now, we've got a special guest who is also watching someone they love go through it, and fortunately or unfortunately, we've all had a chance to see some of it, but someone that we all respect. On the line with us right now, Lady Texter head basketball coach Tyler Summit, and his mom is Coach Pat Summit, Hall of Fame basketball coach, and she's going through some of this difficulty, right, Coach?
She is. You're very right, and first I want to say very thankful to be on this call. I appreciate the invite and just really, really grateful for you having me and be a part of this purple movement. And I think it's such a great cause and so very needed.
Great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, because, I mean, a lot of us know Coach Pat. A lot of us have seen you through the years. I was telling you when we were talking the last time I actually was, saw you was 97, I believe, Tennessee came to Tech twice, the preseason women's NIT, where Coach Barmore passed out behind the bench during the game, and we had a little electrical issue. The lights in just my words are leaving me today. But
in the tack,
in the tack, they were, but it was just so happened that it was just behind the Tennessee goal. With they were the little signs were flashing. And, boy, I really heard about that, you know, like it was my fault. But and then, you know, later that year, y'all had already been planning to come to Tech. So that was the last time I saw you, and I know things have changed for you. But tell us a little bit about Coach Pat and when you first learned about all this and how she's doing now.
Sure, sure. Well, like you said, there's obviously a great history between, you know, my mom in Tennessee and then Coach Barmore in Louisiana Tech. And still to this day, Tennessee's number one in the nation for all-time wins, and Louisiana Tech's number two for all-time wins in the nation in women's basketball. So obviously there's a big connection between the two programs, and got to watch my mom coach against, you know, Coach Barmore multiple times. But as things went on, it was actually in late 2010, early 2011, saw some changes in my mom. And, you know, the thing about it, she was always Wonder Woman. She could do four or five things at once. And, you know, she'd go to a meeting and then she'd drive and be putting on makeup and talking on the phone at the same time and, you know, go give a speech and then change in the car on the way to practice. And she was just Wonder Woman. And so, you know, slowly but surely, started to forget, you know, appointments, what time the appointment was at, or she'd ask two or three times about that, or she'd lose her keys, you know, multiple times around the house. And so, you know, could just tell something was off. And so it was May of 2011. We went to Minnesota and went to the Mayo Clinic, and they diagnosed her with early onset Alzheimer's. And so from that point forward, it was, you know, it was a lot of meeting with doctors, local doctors, national doctors, and just trying to find the best treatment, learn as much as we could about it. And, you know, the scary thing about it is, you know, is even if you talk to the world's experts, there's still so much that we just don't know about this disease.
Right. Absolutely. I've told the story before that my mom, you know, of course, my mom's 89. She still knows who we are. It's that long-term memory. Just, you know, when she starts talking, you have to kind of really pay attention, because all of a sudden you'll realize she's talking about stuff from her childhood and she thinks that's what's happening today. And, you know, my brother and my sister and I, you know, kind of halfway joke that the better she seems, the worse it's getting. You know, if she's happy, that means she's forgotten a lot more and she's, you know, she's okay and everything, which, you know, in a sense, and I know your mom's not at this level at this stage or anything, but at my mom's age, it's almost a relief for her to forget some things and forget what's going on, because she does seem happier.
Sure, sure. And I totally know what you mean. And, you know, it's funny, my mom jokes, you know, kind of jokes with, I think that's what keeps her happy. She'll say, well, heck, you know, I forgot that I have Alzheimer's, you know, kind of joking around that
right,
about her forgetfulness. But, no, I mean, she's, you know, my mom is still doing well, still, you know, very active in Knoxville. You know, obviously the disease, it is progressing. And so, you know, taking steps with care and caregivers and things like that. But, you know, part of the good thing about Alzheimer's, like you said, is that sometimes, you know, they don't know, you know, the patient does not know that they have it. And so they don't realize the changes quite as much because they're forgetting them. And so, you know, I guess there's a small silver lining with a very horrible disease, but I definitely know what you mean.
Right. Well, we're going to do everything we can to, you know, and again, it's not like no one knows about Alzheimer's. We're going to try to increase awareness in our area. We're going to try to affect the area that we can. And with, just like anything else, with awareness comes education. With education, maybe you can do some things to prevent it. I know that what I've heard from some people I trust is that sugar has a lot to do with it. Some people are calling it type 3 diabetes, you know. But I'm not a medical expert. Didn't even play one on TV. But I want to do all I can, and I know that a lot of us do. So what we're going to do is we're trying to get this purple movement going. We you know, there's a pink out and all that kind of stuff. We want to try to have some stuff in the fall at local football games, high school and college, even into basketball season. November is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. But several of us we're going to come visit you after the season's over. and sit down and talk. But on that note, first, I appreciate you being on the show. But tell me, you got, you know, it's not like you got the day off. You got a little something coming up this evening, right?
Well, we do. We have a big game this evening against Western Kentucky, who's number two in our conference. And so that's 7 o'clock tonight in the TAC. It's our last home game. And so it could be a big game for us. If we win, we stay in fifth place, and they picked us ninth preseason, so it'd be good to have a 5 seed going into the tournament, and so it would be very big if we could get this win. But no, like you said, very excited about the Purple Movement. Any way I can help, obviously this is very near and dear to my heart, and any way that, you know, as our the Pat Summit Foundation, any way we can help with the things that you all are doing, not just in November, but overall.
Okay.
My mom's phrase of their foundation is, you know, together we will win. And so definitely want to work together any way we can. But thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and definitely look forward to talking more about this in the future.
Absolutely, Tyler. I really appreciate it, and go get them tonight.
Thanks so much.
All right, have a good one. All right, that was Lady Texter basketball coach Tyler Summit talking about his mom, Hall of Fame basketball coach Pat Summit, and her battle with Alzheimer's. I really just appreciate him coming on and being willing to share something that personal. We're going to go ahead and take another break. This hour brought to you by the Riverport Creative Group in West Monroe. We'll be back with more on Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the show, Talking Sports. It's just you and me. Hey, I'm B. Byron Avery here, your host of Talking Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. We're brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana, presented to you by DBAT of Monroe, dbatmonroe.com. This hour brought to you by the Riverport Creative Group in West Monroe. Again, just want to say thanks again to Lady Texter basketball coach Tyler Summit for coming on last segment, talking about Alzheimer's and how it's affected his family. Want to jump back into high school basketball real quick. I did see they posted, LHSAA posted the Louisiana High School Athletic Association 2015 girls academic basketball team. So it's done by class. So this is an academic honor for these student athletes. I always want to be able to praise someone who's doing well academically as well as athletically. And I've read through this several times. There are some tough spots in it where they mix classes and repeat things, but we'll barrel through it here. So on the Class 5A girls academic basketball team from West Monroe High School, Haley Antley. Also from West Monroe, Abby Lee. From Ouachita, Latrana Hill. Well, lost my place there. Latrana Hill, I said, from Ouachita, I'm sorry. And then in, nope, I'm sorry. Still in 5A. Told you it was a little confusing. Christy Conti from West Monroe. Sean Banks from Ruston High School. Jakesha Newton from Ouachita High School. And that's all the 5A girls basketball academic team. So congratulations to those 5A players from our area. Now for the 4A team, West Ouachita, Ruby Gentile. West Ouachita, Rebecca Skanes. Bastrop, Sarah Fagan. Also from Bastrop, Shalicia Grisby. And that's all for the 4A team. Now on to Class 3A, 2015 girls all-academic basketball. Well, I know they're on here, so Caldwell Parrish from over in Columbia, Jeanne Smith. Okay. from Franklin over in Franklin Parish High School, Wynesha Jenkins from Richwood High School, the Nasia Blanson and Irina Hargrove. From Ravel, Alexia Jackson. And then on the Class 2A team, one of my favorite places, not one of our local teams, but Delcom. My other favorite place is Erath, spelled E-R-A-T-H, Erath. Again, not in our area, but just wanted to throw those out there. So in the 2A team, I know we had some. Oak Grove, Destiny Wilson from Oak Grove. And in Class 1A, Kelsey Booth, daughter of Rhonda and Joe Booth from Wichita Christian. Cedar Creek, Grace Smith, also from Cedar Creek, Taylor Witten. Also from Cedar Creek, Nicole Brazier. From Arcadia, Courtney Mills. Delhi Charter, Ashley Dean. From Wichita Christian, Mary Rolfe. From Cedar Creek, Elizabeth Ann Marie Kimball. And from Tensaw, Kayla Sampson. Rachel Pardue from Cedar Creek. Raven Sampson from Arcadia. Congratulations to those ladies. Class B, here's where we get confusing because they have several different classes mixed in. Class B from Castor, Sydney Anderson. Castor, of course, home of former Major League ace closer Lee Arthur Smith. Yeah, from Quitman, Lindsay Hayes. Also from Castor, Mallory McCarthy. From Weston, Hannah Morris. From Shudrant, Catherine Upshaw. From, I was going to say from Cedar Creek, but no, that's back to 1A. Also from Arcadia, Courtney Mills. I'm sorry, that's back to 1A again. Delhi Charter, never mind, that's 1A. They're throwing me off here, guys. Sorry. Castor, Molly Ann Wilson. Shudrant, Shannon Brown. Simsboro, Amari Gibson. And from Castor, Elizabeth Warren. Antoinette Harris from Simsboro. Kylie Love from Castor. And from Simsboro, Notoria Amos. And in Quitman, Bailey Abercrombie. And finally, rounding out the 2015 Girls Basketball All-Academic Team, Class C, Kaylee Harkins from Summerfield, April Leonard from Downsville, Savannah Ogle from Claiborne Christian, Heather Hancock from Downsville, Monica Battle from Summerfield, Lexi Porter from Epps, and that's it. So congratulations to all those young ladies, the 2015 ExxonMobil All-Academic Scholar Girls Basketball Team. Great to be associated with those young ladies. Tabor, we had a good week or so here in Louisiana Tech baseball. Wins against two top 15 teams. First beating University of Louisiana Lafayette, my favorite. Again, always glad to see them take a loss, but they came into Pat Patterson Field at J.C. Love, or Pat Patterson Park at J.C. Love Field, and I heard some grumblings after the game that Tech threw a weekend pitcher at them. But you know, you got the number six team in the country come in, wouldn't you throw one of your best pitchers, Tabor?
I think Herm Edwards said it. You play absolutely to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're going to throw somebody out there that you don't think can win just so you can have a midweek game. No, you play to win the game. So they beat the Cajuns, and then they went to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and beat the number 12-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks 3-2. So big week in Louisiana Tech baseball as well. Reach out to us. You can call us on the Car King hotline. Pulpit Producers text line, you can reach out to us there. The Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, T-Sports 977 FM. Riverport Creative Group email inbox, tsports977fm@gmail.com, and the Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports977fm. We're going to go ahead and take another break, come back with our final segment, more Talking Sports here on 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talking Sports here on 97.7 FM. Byron Avery here with you in the spacious, dare I say luxurious, studios in West Monroe. Tabor, don't know if you've been here in a while, but I mean, the recliners that they have in here, I mean, it's hard to stay awake sometimes during the show.
The next time I step foot in that studio will be the first time.
There you go. Well, then you have no idea whether or not I'm telling the truth.
I'll take your word for it.
There you go. There you go. Went into the last segment talking a little bit about Tech baseball doing well. Tech basketball, men's basketball doing really well. Also showed up at number two on the SportsCenter top 10 with Derek Jean, isn't it Derek Jean?
Yes, Derek.
And making that half-court shot to win the game at Marshall. Marshall figured they were headed to overtime. It was 94-94 with 3.3 seconds left. I know everybody's played that Dave Nitz call with Kane there next to him. But tremendous win for them. Let's go to the Car King hotline. Tabor, who we got on the line?
We have Greg.
Greg, welcome to the show.
How you doing? I was surfing the radio here in my truck. Didn't know you had the show on, and you sounded good. I like that. Didn't realize that Tom Morris was that old. Of course, again, oh. I'm that old too. So
he's really old.
Yeah, I do have one of his pictures from Full Attack. I don't know exactly who we were playing that night, but. It's a pretty nice one that I won over at the Mosher Crawfish Bowl. As far as the USL thing goes, I lived down there for 15 years, and of course I went through the USL and then ULL trials, and went back 2 years ago to the game, and a buddy of mine lived really close by, so we parked at his house and walked to the stadium, and I got to introduce him to Mr. Kendall Dixon. Real early in the game, so I was really, really happy about that. Yeah, but they were always picking and ribbing at us when Kev got beat by USL, and so it couldn't, like you said, it couldn't happen to a better bunch. But you know, as far as an individual doing that to all the kids, you know, it's just a shame. It's kind of like the coach starting the thing at Simsboro, you know. It's not going to hurt anybody but the kids, because there's probably going to be some repercussions right from that. So,
right. I do feel bad for the players down at USL, ULL.
Yeah.
I feel bad for those. I don't feel bad for the institution. You know, there's nothing I can do about it, so I'm going to, take a little bit of glory in it. But I do feel bad for those kids because, you know, it's not their fault. But
yeah, I'm glad they're taking some kind of repercussions on that coach, because you know, so he's not going to be hireable for at least 8 years, I believe. If you know right, somebody might take him, but you know,
last game that I went to at ULL was Troy Edwards down there, and it was unbelievable. I was in the press box, and their press box PA announcer. We're beating the snot out of him, and he would say, and Troy Edwards and Tim Rattay still in the ball game. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course. Do you not? Your attitude right there is exactly why they're still in the ball game. Just because that's the same attitude they all had.
That's one of the few press boxes that I've been in as far as the college ranks. One of my high school buddies, Doug Island, did his internship down there, and.
Dougie Fresh, love him to death.
Got to sit with him in the press box during the game, but fun time while we got down there and enjoyed the food, but the traffic got horrible and decided, well, it's time to come back to wrestling.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
I appreciate you calling in.
All right. Bye.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. So appreciate Greg calling in on the Car King Hotline, 888-993-7762. Want to go ahead and give away lunch for one at Katie's. The first caller at on the Car King Hotline, 888-993-7762, will win a lunch, free hot lunch, at Katie's on Louisville Avenue in the parking lot in front of County Market. It used to be Cuppy's Coffee. Great hot lunches. Call in, give us your name, your date of birth, and your phone number, and we'll give that to Katie. And when you go through there, you'll be able to do that. So the first caller, Tabor, will take your information. But we're going to move on right now. Anyone that wants to call in, text us on the Pulpwood Producers text line, feel free. We've got a little bit of time left. But, Tabor, I want to get into a regret. You ever have regrets?
Nope, just learning lessons.
Learning lessons, okay. I have a regret. Unfortunately, I have lots of them. Most of them involve being stupid when I was young, but doing stupid things, rather. Not being stupid, but doing stupid things. But I was working down at Southeastern, 1995, 96, 94 through 96. And the little thing coming up called the Olympics. Happening in Atlanta, 1996. They need all the volunteers they can get. So I figured, hey, you know, I've been helpful with Lady Texter basketball. I've been involved in that. I've been to NCAA tournaments. I'd been to an NCAA women's basketball final, Final Four, and, you know, participated in a final game, not on the court. I figured, you know what, I'm just going to offer my services and see what they come up with. So I'm down at Southeastern, and I send in my application. You got to put why you feel you'd be valuable. So I put all that in there and, you know, tooted my own horn and all that, and I get a notice back. Hey, great. You're in. You're going to be working the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. Man, I was pumped. I went ahead and bought my ticket. This is probably 6 months early. I don't remember, but round-trip flight from New Orleans to Atlanta, $99. Got the ticket, had it in my desk drawer. So we communicate back and forth throughout the time, and I get a notice one day, hey, look, are you going to – you have room and board, you have a place to stay and all that? I said, well, no, I hadn't heard anything on how all this works yet, so I want to be able to stay in the Olympic Village. Didn't hear anything. Finally get a call. Hey, look, that's great. No problem. But in order for us to house you and feed you, you have to be in charge of a sport. So they put me in charge, media, for one of the sports at the 1996 Olympic Games. I was in charge of table tennis, which was fine with me. I minored in ping pong in college. About 4 hours a day, much more than I put into my major. But about 4 hours a day, I'd play ping pong at Tech. And, I forgot to mention, I was already working with one sport, and then they were going to put me over table tennis. I was going to be a media liaison for the men's dream team at the Olympics, taking players back and forth to interviews. That's kind of exciting, right? Tabor, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Wouldn't you think that would be kind of exciting, working with the Dream Team in 1996 at the U.S. Olympics?
Let's see. In 96, I would have been 17 going into my senior year of high school. Yeah, I would have been starstruck, to say the least.
Let's just look back at that 96 U.S. men's basketball team. Charles Barkley, pretty decent player. Penny Hardaway, Grant Hill, won Karl Malone, Reggie Miller, Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, Gary Payton, Scottie Pippen, Mitch Richmond, the Admiral, David Robinson, and one John Stockton. Pretty good group of basketball players, wouldn't you say? I know Tabor's probably just busy doing tons of important stuff back
no,
at the...
No, I didn't want to yawn on air.
I'm sorry.
you mentioned that group, I think. Penny Hardaway and Mitch Richmond would be the only ones not in the Hall of Fame. Go through that roster again.
Barkley, Hardaway, Grant Hill. I don't think Hill's made it in yet. Malone,
he's
Miller.
He's definitely fringe.
Yep. Malone, Miller, Shaq, Olajuwon, Payton, Pippen, Richmond, David Robinson, and John Stockton.
So, yeah, Richmond, Penny, and you just said him, Grant Hill.
Grant Hill, yep.
Which all three, I would say, are fringe. Maybe not Richmond, right. But
Barkley, Malone, Shaq, Olajuwon, Pippen. I know those are top 50 all time. You know, made that top 50 greatest players of all time. I'm not sure about Stockton. So here I am, living in Hammond, Louisiana, working in sports, loving life. I'm about to be media liaison with the Dream Team, U.S. men's basketball, at the 96 Olympics in Atlanta, Georgia. And, by the way, I'm going to be in charge of the media for table tennis. Life doesn't get much better than that for a sports fan, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
All right. So here I am. I didn't go. I had applied for a position in North Louisiana, and this was July, and I said, okay, I got the job, great. So now life's even better. I'm going to work the Olympics, and I'm going to work at my alma mater. Only one thing. Hey, we really need you to stay here and not go to the Olympics. We really got some stuff going on that we really need your help with. And I said, you know, okay. I canceled my trip, canceled my ticket, and did not go to work the Olympics. And I was fine with that for a long time, but the older I get, Tabor, I should have said no. I should have said, I can't do it. I'm committed to the Olympics. Plus, it's the Olympics. When am I going to have a chance to do this again? Obviously never. Never happened again for me. So that's one of my regrets. It's one of the things I just wanted to rant about today. Not that I can do anything about it, but imagine the stories I could tell if I had gone and stayed in the Olympic Village in 1996, worked with the U.S. men's basketball team, the 96 Dream Team, and would have had all those stories to tell. Of course, my luck, I'd have been sitting on that bench where the bomb went off. But anyway, that's going to wrap up the show for today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to all of our broadcast partners, Car King, Pulpwood Producers, Glassworks of West Monroe, the Riverport Creative Group, Assurance Financial, Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe and Calhoun, Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana, DBAT of Monroe, Gina Eubanks Allstate Insurance, and Katie's. Thanks for listening. I'm Byron Avery, your host. We'll see you next week. We'll be talking sports on 97.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the best of Talking Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com. Or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeachSports.com.